Raw footage coming out of the cinema and into your ears.
35mm. Analog world. 35mm.
Welcome to Raw Footage, episode number 20. So we're in the home stretch of awards season, and this is the penultimate episode in my attempt to watch all the Oscar-worthy movies this year. I'm going to be seeing the last of the films on my list of Oscar buzz films on Friday, so the last episode in this build up to the Oscars will be the next one, which will hopefully be quickly followed by the Oscar preview show. In this episode, we have two films which were getting a certain amount of Oscar buzz, neither of which got any nominations. And in both cases, I was slightly wary of watching them because they looked like they might be a bit too depressing or not to my taste. So I was wary about watching both of these films, but let's see if that wariness was justified.
Honey, let's get this thing going.
The first film on today's episode is the latest from the writer-director team behind Juno, and starring Oscar winner Charlize Theron. This is Young Adult, and here's the trailer.
Welcome to Hampton Inn. Do you have a reservation?
No.
Is that a dog in your bag?
No.
We actually allow small pets with a cleaning deposit.
Good, because I have a small dog in my vehicle.
What are you doing back in Mercury? Or you move back, or?
Of course not. Gross.
Prom queen, bitch. Down on the
street. And here's the deal. Buddy Slade and I are meant to be together, and I'm here to get him back.
I'm pretty sure he's married with a kid on the way.
No, kid's here. I'm cool with it. I mean, I've got baggage too.
I would keep all of this to yourself. I would find a therapist.
That new baby of his is just darling.
Have you seen it? Up close? God. You know what? Oh my God. She's an old time
ambassador. God, you are a piece of work.
Can I help you find something?
I'm going to a rock concert with an old flame.
Let's show him what he's been missing.
No, he's seen me recently. He knows. But his wife hasn't seen me in a while, so. You can come to the city with me, like we always planned.
Mavis, I'm a married man.
No, we can beat this thing together.
So I'm back in the Cabot Circus shopping centre in Bristol, just outside the Showcase Cinema Deluxe, where I've just seen the first of two Oscar buzz films, which are probably going to be quite heavy going. I've just come out of Young Adult, which stars Charlize Theron and Patton Oswalt, is written by Diablo Cody and directed by Jason Reitman. And that's the writer-director partnership who had a hit a couple of years ago with Juno. And Jason Reitman is also the director of Up in the Air and Thank You for Smoking. So in my eyes, Jason Reitman has yet to direct a bad film. I've really liked all his films so far. So I was very interested to see Young Adult. But on the negative side for Young Adults, all the pre-publicity I've seen and heard indicated that this was a film with a very negative hero, I mean, sort of like an anti-hero. And I don't really like that kind of film where we are shown a despicable person and sort of asked to make judgments on them. And I also don't particularly like the kind of comedy which deals in being uncomfortable, sort of cringeworthy comedy. It's not really my thing. So it was sort of two conflicting emotions going in. I mean, I wanted to see it because it had Oscar buzz, because it had Diablo Cody and Jason Reitman behind it. But I also was wary of the fact it might be hard to watch. It follows Charlize Theron, who plays a ghostwriter of a series of young adult books. And when the series she is writing gets cancelled because it's losing popularity, and on the same day receives an email announcing that her high school boyfriend has just had a baby, she decides to go back to her small hometown in Minnesota and win her boyfriend back, despite the fact he is apparently a happily married man. So this seems to be kind of a regular theme of Jason Reitman's films, you know, people at crossroads. In Juno, obviously, the crossroads is the pregnancy. In Up in the Air, the lifestyle that George Clooney leads might be coming to an end because of this new system that's been put into place. And in Thank You for Smoking, you have this PR man at a crossroads in his life when he realises that being the mouthpiece for smoking might not be the best thing in the world and might not mean that his son respects him. So Jason Reitman seems to like this kind of crossroads type movie, if you want to put a label on it. And I have to say that this film, Young Adult, follows very nicely in those footsteps. I did actually really enjoy this film. And that is because Charlize Theron creates a wonderful character. Well, alright, Diablo Cody created a wonderful character, which Charlize Theron performed brilliantly. This woman that she plays, Mavis Gary, is kind of delusional, kind of sociopathic, kind of stunted. She is the high school bitch. I mean, she's described by another character as the high school prom queen bitch. And she's basically never grown up out of that. So I mean, that gives the title of the film, Young Adults, another meaning. And as I was worried, I mean, this could have been a role that was very hard to watch and hard to appreciate. But it wasn't. It's a superb acting performance. And I really think that Charlize Theron should have got an Oscar nomination for this. She has just the right amount of selfishness and lack of empathy that this kind of character needs. But there are times throughout the film where you can see the underlying problems and you can see why she hasn't ever grown up and she hasn't ever developed past this high school prom queen bitch persona. There are times when she is actually genuinely insightful, and it's a great character, and I think credit goes in equal parts to Charlize Theron and Diablo Cody, and I'm probably Jason Reitman as well, but you know, she has convinced herself that this high school boyfriend is calling out to her and needs her to rescue him from this life of drudgery in this small Minnesota town with a baby he doesn't really want and all this kind of stuff. She persuades herself that he is as miserable in his life as she is in hers. And I think it's telling the way that these characters are introduced. I mean, I won't say exactly what happens, but Mavis is introduced to us in a really cool way, showing how scuzzy and selfish she is. And her high school boyfriend, Buddy, played by Patrick Wilson, is also introduced to us in a really cool way that shows right from the start, before they've even met up again, that he is actually happy. He doesn't need rescuing. So the whole thing is really nicely handled by Jason Reitman. And I think a lot of credit also needs to go to Patton Oswalt, who is a comic actor who I most know from the sitcom King of Queens, which didn't get a wide distribution here in the UK, but it was quite popular over in the US. And he is great as kind of the geeky guy that Mavis completely ignored in high school and had a really nasty incident happen to him because people thought he was gay. So he is also kind of stunted because of this tragedy that happened to him. So, and they kind of find each other, and Patton Oswalt's character knows right from the start that Mavis is on a bad path, and tries his best to help her, and in a certain degree does help her. But he too is kind of stunted and doesn't develop very much. I mean, and that's another key point about this film. Mavis doesn't really seem to develop that much. And I kind of like that. I think her perceptions of life have changed a bit, but fundamentally she hasn't had the eureka moments of saying, you know, my life is going to change from now on. Well, she does kind of have that, but in a really, really cool way, which again I won't spoil, but there's a point where the average film would have ended and said, yes, I am going to change my life, I am going to be better from now on. And the script and the performance just go is in a completely different direction from that, from what you expect. And that's really nicely handled. And I think a good indication of the kind of person that Charlize Theron plays is the way she treats her dog. Now, this dog does feature in the trailer, which I played at the beginning of this review. Kind of, you know, you watch the trailer and you see what I mean. So you kind of think that this is going to be a Paris Hilton type of situation where the dog is like the surrogate child or whatever, you know, is spoiled and taken care of. But that really isn't the case. It's almost as if the dog is an accessory rather than something to love. And the dog does get quite a rough deal in this film, which was kind of sad and kind of interesting for the character, because you're thinking, even though this person is pretty despicable, at least she loves her dog. Well, she doesn't really, and it is kind of interesting in that way. So, a really nice examination of somebody who never really grew up and the troubles that has later in life. A really, really good performance from Charlize Theron. A really good performance from Patton Oswalt. Well directed by Jason Reitman. Well written by Diablo Cody. All around, this is a really good film. And I did actually really enjoy it. It wasn't a film that was hard for me to watch, and that was a concern. So, yeah, successful all round. It really should have got some Oscar nominations. Diablo Cody is one of those screenwriters who only does one thing. That is not a criticism. You can have a very successful career just doing the same type of thing over and over again. And you can be successful at it if you are good consistently at doing that one thing. And Diablo Cody does. She always has this youth patois kind of dialogue style, and it usually works. It could just be accused of being gimmicky if Diablo Cody wasn't also really good at the structure of screenwriting. Even the best films nowadays tend to be somewhat formulaic. You don't know the exact line that's coming up next, but you can pretty much work out the direction the particular scene is going in as soon as it starts. I mean, that's just the nature of writing a script. But there was one particular scene in Young Adults, and it's actually one of the scenes in the trailer, where the next line that came out of the character's mouth was not at all the type of thing I was expecting, but it was perfect, and I literally raised my eyebrows at that, thinking, wow, that's not where I expected this scene to go, but that's brilliant. So yeah, you can criticise Diablo Cody all you want for her stylized dialogue style, but she is a genuinely good scriptwriter, and personally I think she deserved her Oscar for Juno. And when you combine Diablo Cody's excellent script, Jason Reitman's excellent direction, and Charlize Theron's excellent performance, you have a really good film and a really good character study of this pretty despicable woman.
Well, baby, you have more for me? I admire your stamina.
The next film on today's show is definitely one which could be too heavy going for a lot of people. It tells the harrowing story of one girl's attempts to leave the cult she has been living with for the past 2 years. The film is Martha Marcy May Marlene, and here's the trailer.
Hello?
Yeah.
Where are you?
I'm not sure. I'm upstate, I think.
Find out where you are and I will come get you.
I can't wait that long.
What's going on?
She's here now. She seems okay.
What'd she say?
She had some boyfriend. They were living in the Catskills.
Is this Martha?
Martha.
You look like a Marcy May.
You've got a really nice place here.
It's as much yours as it is mine.
Where are we? Connecticut? Well, how far are we?
From what?
Yesterday.
You mean from where I picked you up? About 3 hours. Why?
Do you ever have that feeling where you can't tell if something's a memory or if it's something you dreamed?
I don't blame you for not trusting people. If you're ever going to have a meaningful relationship, you need to let your guard down. We want to help you. Let us in.
What happened to you?
You're a teacher and a leader, Marcy. Now prove it. Shoot it.
They're living animals.
So shoot Max then. Go ahead.
I know who I am. I am a teacher and a leader. You just never let me be that.
I don't think she should stay with us anymore. We can't ignore the fact that her behavior is insane.
I'm her only family.
We have to leave. We all have to leave.
What happened?
I don't know.
Well, she's just a picture. Lives on my wall. Just a picture.
My favorite. I won't lose you.
That's all.
So, back in the Calvert Circus shopping centre, just outside the Cinema Deluxe in Bristol, where I've seen the second of today's double bill of Oscar buzz dark films, I guess you'd call them. Oh no, I don't know about young adult being dark, but it was certainly one I was worried about seeing. But I was also worried about seeing Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene. Which is, for a start, a rather clunky title for a film. But despite that, it was getting a certain amount of Oscar buzz, and it was also highly regarded at the Sundance Film Festival last year. It stars Elizabeth Olsen as, well, Martha, Marcy May and Marlene. She is actually the younger sister of the Olsen twins, Mary-Kate and Ashley. And I haven't actually seen that much of the Olsen twins, I must admit, but it seems like Elizabeth is the one that got the talent. She is outstanding in this film. She plays a woman, or girl, young woman who is in a cult and decides to escape and ends up living with her estranged sister, who she hasn't spoken to for 2 years because she was in this cult and wasn't that close to before she joined this cult. And the film intercuts her time in this cult and in the house of her sister and her husband. I mean, the title comes from the fact that this girl, Martha, is renamed Marcy May as she joins the cult by the leader of the cult, John Hawkes, who does another really good line in Creepy after his Oscar-nominated turn in Winter's Bone last year. So John Hawkes plays this cult leader who renames everybody who joins his cult. And gradually things are revealed as to what exactly goes on in this cult. And there's some pretty disturbing things that go on. I mean, it's a great examination of how people are able to be sort of brainwashed into being cult members, and how the most unacceptable things to average people become acceptable and become the norm. It's all about changing perceptions and finding the right people to be part of the cult. I mean, because the impression you get through the film, I mean, it's never explicitly stated, which I like, but the impression you get of Martha is that she was damaged long before she got into the grips of this cult leader played by John Hawkes. And through the course of the film, I think it's pretty clear that this girl is probably damaged beyond repair. She doesn't fit in with quote-unquote normal society anymore, because she has become indoctrinated into this cult. And an incident happens while she's at the cult, which means she can no longer truly believe in that. So she doesn't really fit into either world. And this confusion and uncertainty of the situation is played brilliantly by Elizabeth Olsen, who I really think, like Charlize Theron this morning, I think she should have got an Oscar nomination. And also, I'd like to mention Sarah Paulson, who plays Martha's sister, who is a very interesting character, because you see hints of why she was estranged from Martha even before this whole cult thing. And she is obviously trying to help, but unfortunately the way she thinks she can help isn't really helping anybody. It's a case of not having the slightest clue what's happened to Martha, and therefore pretty much doing exactly the wrong things, even though these things are done with the best of intentions. Like I said, Martha no longer fits in regular society anymore. So the whole film is structured brilliantly. I mean, there are moments where you genuinely don't know whether you are in the cults or in the lake house with Martha's sister. And there are times when you can't see the edits. So you walk down a corridor and you think you're in the cults, and then you realise when you walk through the door that you're actually in the lake house. It's very clever in doing that, and it's never actually confusing, apart from, so like a millisecond, you know, which one are we in? Okay, let's move on then. It's a very, very interesting film, and I think writer-director Sean Durkin is one to look out for. However, I can't decide whether the ending of this film is absolute genius or one of the most frustrating endings I've ever seen in a film. I really can't decide. I kind of think it was a good way of ending the film, but it does leave things open to interpretation. It is kind of ambiguous, but I think in this particular circumstance I would have liked a bit more resolution. But it is I think the answer is that it's very frustrating, and it's also genius, if such a thing is possible. But it is, in common with a lot of these art house films, it is a very abrupt ending, so be warned about that. So if you can cope with that, and if you can cope with the dark subject matter, because this film does go in some pretty disturbing places, if you can cope with that, I do think Martha Marcy May Marlene is worth watching, particularly because of Elizabeth Olsen's performance, because she is absolutely superb and definitely one to look out for in the future. It's impossible to understate just how much of a breakout performance this is for Elizabeth Olsen, especially in the scenes at the cult compound. Her progression from naive ingenue to active participant in pretty despicable acts feels natural and believable. And then when you factor in also the damaged girl that emerges from this cult compound, which is also portrayed beautifully, this is an outstanding acting performance. And compared to some of the performances that did get nominated, this is streets ahead of some of the performances that did get nominated. So, as I mentioned at the start of this episode, the last cinema trip for an Oscar buzz film is scheduled for this Friday, and therefore we'll have one more regular episode, and then we'll have the Oscar preview show, which, if past history is anything to go by, will probably be at least an hour and a half long. So if you like these shorter format podcasts, then I'm sorry, but I do like to really go in depth occasionally, and talking about the comparison between what was nominated and what should have been nominated is something that I do really get passionate about. And a reminder that I would still like feedback. Maybe somebody would like to send me their thoughts about the Oscar nominations or even the Oscar wins. I did actually get another tweet from Leon, who I was talking about in the last episode, was it? Now it's difficult to keep track, but he tweeted me saying he was going to see Chronicle on my recommendation, which is always handy. That's kind of why I do this. So yes, feedback in textual or audio formats is always welcome, and you can find out where to send it to if you listen to the outro that I always play using the excellent track by the Icelandic band Vicky. So that was Raw Footage. I've been your host, Colin Gaisley from Bath, and I'll see you the next time I come out of the cinema and into your ears. Raw Footage is an Ouroboros podcast production. Homepage can be found at raw-footage.co.uk. Comments and feedback can be sent to rawfootagepodcast@gmail.com. The intro music to this show is by Oliver Benjamin Thayer. The outro music is by Vicky, both used with permission. Idemps provided by Dr. Brandy's sexy voice of The Inside Outcast. Trailer audio is included under the Doctrine of Fair Use.